This programming sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters. Information about their flexible premium life insurance plans available at relevantradio.com/forester. Talk radio for Catholic life to start your day.
Morning Air
on Relevant Radio with Glenn Leverenz. Here's your host, John Harper.
Good morning. 5 minutes after the hour, it is Wednesday, July 25th, 2018, an important day in church history. 50 years ago today, Blessed Paul VI encyclical, Humanae Vitae, the Latin title means On Human Life, is issued. It reaffirmed the constant teaching of our church on married love, on what responsible parenthood is, on the continued rejection of unnatural forms of birth control. We'll look at the 50th anniversary of Humanae Vitae, go inside this encyclical from a number of different angles, and also great spiritual direction this morning from Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione, joining us live from the Archdiocese of San Francisco, Father Marcel Tyone from the Diocese of Providence, and much more here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And as we start this gift of a new day, we offer it to our Father and invite you to join us for the morning offering. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, we offer you our prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day for all the intentions of your Sacred Heart, in union with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world, for the salvation of souls, the reparation of sins, the reunion of all Christians, and in particular for the intentions of the Holy Father this month. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I know this is radio, but we're always quite visual on this radio program. That, I'm trying to make some noise here. That's Humanae Vitae, and this is a published version of it. It's only about 15 pages. You can get it online. You can download it in a PDF that you can have on your desktop, and it's a very easy and a very beautiful read. So why is it so controversial, and why have we also not embraced Humanae Vitae yet? It remains front and center on our radar as a Catholic. So it's a number, those are a number of questions that are dealt with in a book, Why Humanae Vitae is Still Right. It's edited by Janet Smith, who brings some of the great voices of the Catholic Church together, in addition to her own essays published by Ignatius Press. And she joins us this morning. Dr. Smith is a recognized expert on Humanae Vitae and holds the Father Michael J. McGivney Chair of Life Ethics at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit. Dr. Smith, good morning. Welcome to Morning Air.
No, good morning.
You have a number of great voices in here, voices we've already had on our program today, including Mary Eberstadt and George Weigel. Christopher West is joining us a little bit later on. But in your introduction is really the key question as we look at Humanae Vitae 50 years later. You say it's neither forgotten nor an embraced document. Two-part question. How did we get there? And also, why do we remain in this very curious limbo?
Well, oh, so many reasons for it, but I mean, the document, no document in the church has ever been greeted with as much dissent as Humanae Vitae was right out the gates. And within a year or two, the seminaries and the universities were all being manned by professors who were dissenters. And so the document, the teaching was never really taught. In fact, the opposite was taught. So many of the priests out there were actually taught in seminary that they should not teach this teaching, that eventually it will change, and they just need to tell couples that they're free to do what their consciences tell them to. And, of course, the 60s was the same time that the pill became available. The pill wasn't available until the late 1950s, early 1960s. And by 1968, it had become just routine and for people to use the pill, for women to use the pill. And so we've lived in a culture that's been sexually licentious, honestly, for the last 50 years. So it's really hard to teach a teaching that basically requires people to exercise self-control and to wait until marriage to have sexual intercourse and to practice self-mastery and abstain when they're fertile, if they've decided it's not a good idea to have a child right now. And it's a very countercultural teaching, and the church itself has not been ready to teach that teaching.
And also the quote-unquote fake news, to use a current term, of its day was the fact that the oral contraceptives that came on the market in the late 50s all the way through the early 60s dealt with in Humanae Vitae was for population control. And that was the fake news of the day. We did not have a population explosion.
Oh, but that really was a dominant belief at the time.
Yeah. Right?
And it was when the book Population Bomb came out. And when I was in school, we had pictures of the globe that was filled with so many people. People were falling off. And that was very much the pressure on Pope Paul VI to reiterate what had been the constant teaching of the church, that contraception was not in accord with God's plan for sexuality. In fact, every Christian church up until 1930 had held that same position. But because there were, the UN was planning programs on overpopulation, planning, you know, methods of attack, which includes contraception, Pope Paul VI decided it was time for he wasn't reconsidering the issue at all, honestly. He was just trying to figure out how you best present that teaching in a world which believes it's overpopulated.
What should the church do today, Dr. Smith, to teach Humanae Vitae? Should we be talking more about conscience, about natural law, because we're so deeply shaped by the culture here in the United States, and also talking about this gift of self that brings union and fruitfulness?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I preach happiness, I think, and holiness are the two things we really need to preach, that God's plan is the best plan, and God has chosen to teach many of his teachings through the church. And so we should be so blessed that God has revealed his plan to us and revealed it through the church. And we've seen enough of the damage of contraception that we can't doubt, we can't think anymore that it's a solution to any problems. If we're honest, we have to say it's the source of so many problems. And if people were living by, and people who do live by the church's teaching, have a much better chance at a long-lasting marriage, at stability, their children grow up in a house that's an intact household with a father and a mother who have made a commitment to each other. That's the thing I find young people, in a sense, most want. They hate divorce. They hate having grown up in a divorced household. And even if they haven't, they hate what it's done to their friends and their friends' lives. So they really want marital stability. They don't necessarily believe in a relationship that can last forever. And marriage undoubtedly is hard. But the church, again, and Jesus have left us with help. Grace is there. The grace is there. So if we do some things, if we wait until marriage to have sex, and we don't contracept within marriage, and we do a bunch of other things, we tithe and we follow, we go to Mass and we pray, the chances are we'll do pretty darn well achieving happiness in this world. Not that there aren't going to be some considerable crosses along the way, but we won't be sabotaging our own lives, which is what people are doing now. They're making bad choices by following the ways of the world instead of the ways of the Lord, and they're sabotaging their own lives.
Dr. Smith, today we have developed countries that will offer cash incentives for couples to have kids because they need to, you know, get the birth rate back up again. That generation ago, that the scare about overpopulation, was that just kind of a smokescreen cover for the real reason for contraception, to just do what we want without consequences?
Well, we have been doing that for some time, and yeah, contraception certainly made people think that they could have sex without the consequences of babies. But people do love babies, you know. The problem is they don't know anymore that they love babies. They're growing up in two children households, and they're not accustomed to growing up with a baby in the household. So they wait to have children until they're in their 30s, and then all of a sudden they go, oh, my gosh, this is so wonderful. This is so meaningful. This is so joyful. Again, it's a lot of hard work. But most people say that nothing has meant as much to them in their lives as their children. Most people will say that, but people don't discover that anymore until they're well into their 30s, because contraception has made them think that, well, they can postpone it and just mess around for a couple years before they get serious about life. And again, they're sabotaging their own lives. And as a consequence, as you mentioned, most of the developing worlds are now suffering a reverse population problem, a population implosion problem, where they are not reproducing themselves. And so now they have to give people incentive to have babies. But you don't need to give people incentive to have babies. People do love having babies, but you have to give them an incentive to discover that, I suppose. And then, of course, they're giving them some breaks that are good to have, maternity leave, paternity leave, and keeping jobs for people while they're getting, you know, the babies settled in and that sort of thing. So that's all. I have no complaint against incentives, but they should, no one should need incentives.
And there is great hope, as Archbishop Chaput had mentioned in a conference about Humanae Vitae back in April. Relevant Radio was blessed to be there, and Archbishop Chaput in Philadelphia talked about how much times have changed, that thanks be to God in theology departments now in many Catholic universities, and also among younger members of the clergy and in seminaries who now accept Paul VI's teaching without question. So that's the good news about Humanae Vitae. We recommend not only getting a copy of Humanae Vitae, but also getting a copy of Dr. Janet Smith's book, Why Humanae Vitae is Still Right. This is chock full of a lot of very, very good Catholic common sense about Humanae Vitae. Dr. Janet Smith is the Father Michael J. McGivney Chair of Life Ethics at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit. Thanks for doing this book, Dr. Smith. It's wonderful. We enjoyed reading it, and we recommend it to our Relevant Radio listeners. Thanks for being on the show today.
Well, all right, and thank you for promoting it.